You're listening to U Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Providing unbiased opinions on all things Utah football and basketball.
Welcome to this edition of the U Talk podcast. I'm Grant Bagby from Torn by Sports. With me, as always,
Joseph Silverswag. How is everybody doing on this lovely day? We've had some rain. My lawn is greener, thanks to @UteDaddy on Twitter. Little shout out.
Are you paying his $5 a month?
I'm not right now,
but I'm going to. I think next year. This year we bought a house, and we bought it in end of April. So it's kind of too late for a lot of stuff, and we're kind of scrambling just to keep everything alive. But next year when I get started in March, I think I'm going to Patreon it up. You can pay this guy on Twitter $5 a month that he tells you how to take care of your lawn. And he's got, 50 people who are, following? So he knows what he's talking about, and he's given me some tips sort of incidentally. So there, a little free advertising for you, @UteDaddy on Twitter. He's your guy. He's a cool guy, too.
UteDaddy, if you're listening, feel free to contact us, and we could set up
a
regular plug.
I
could think of several segments we could do during this season about the turf.
Oh, yeah.
Even though it's fake.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's perfect. It's really perfect.
All right. Well, welcome to the show. As always, we're going to hit some quick hitters, go over some quick news that we just want to touch on, not really get into in depth. And then we're going to go into football. We've got some off-season tidbits to discuss. And then we're going to get into linebackers and the defensive line, what Joseph sees happening there, what my opinions are as well, and we'll go from there. But let's start with the quick hitters. So first up, women's basketball, literally today, as we're recording, released their non-conference schedule officially.
Hooray.
It's women's basketball. I know a ton of our listenership probably not super excited, but it's the youths nonetheless.
It's fun to watch. It's cool because they're a little shorter and a little lighter, so it's much more of a finesse game. So it can be kind of fun because of sometimes I feel like the level of technique is more there.
Interesting. Well, their headline games, I guess, in the non-conference, they're taking on Alabama, who last season they only lost 2 by 5 points, so that could be an exciting game. You've got the rivalry game is December 8th against Brigham Young University, that rivalry game. I'm sure there's plenty of awesome rivalries in conference. And then they also play the University of Florida, but that's in the Duel in the Desert. And then if they win that game, they move on. I think they're lined up to play Hawaii or UNLV and then so forth. But and then it's on to the conference schedule.
And that's really where the meat of the schedule is. I was looking up these teams as you were naming them on last year's RPI. So there's not a ton of numbers out there for women's basketball, but they do an RPI analysis. And all of those teams are 65 or lower in the RPI. Alabama at 65. But the conference is very strong there. I have 6 teams in the top 20. Last year were Pac-12 teams. So I think what you'll see is a softer non-con schedule, and then the real meat of the schedule is actually playing the teams in conference. That's not the ones you expect. UCLA is up there. Oregon is up there. Arizona State, Oregon State, Stanford. So it's not the same teams. The landscape of women's basketball is different. But yeah, it's cool to get some more information about what they're doing. The other news that has been coming out kind of over the last week or two is award watch lists. A lot of Utes on those. In particular, Zach Moss. I retweeted this a couple days ago. There's some NFL scouts who are just pumped about Zach Moss, talking about how violent of a runner he is. And now he's on the Doak Walker, which is a running back award, and the Maxwell, which is sort of the kissing cousin of the Heisman, the best football player, and they usually give it to someone else who plays a different position than quarterback, because Heisman's really a quarterback award at this point, more or less. Then there have been some defensive awards. Julian Blackman and Bradley and I both named to the Bednarik Award watch list, best defensive player. And then Chase Hansen was named to the Lott Impact Trophy watch list. That's one of the cool ones that's about character, community involvement, all of that stuff. So it's a real whole person award rather than just on-field performance. And I think Chase has a shot. We'll talk about this more as we get into linebackers. And what moving from strong safety to linebacker is going to do for Chase Hansen and for his numbers. But it's a busy award watch list season for a bunch of Utes. And hopefully they can bring home some of those trophies. A very strong statistical correlation for recruiting is awards. So right. Teams with more consensus All-Americans, more Heismans, more Doak Walkers tend to recruit better. So it seems like teenagers notice who's winning these awards.
Yeah, and it'll be fun to see. And it's good for the program to get awards. They're not high value to me.
No, I don't think they matter too much to fans. It's cool for the program.
Yeah. And it's cool for the players.
But it's good for recruiting. It's great for the players, yeah. And then the thing to remember about these watch lists, though, is they're enormous. Most of them have between 60 and 70, or really between 60 and 90 players on them. So it's not a huge honor to be on the watch list, but it's better than not being on the watch list. And you're seeing exactly the players you want. Zach Moss, Blackman, Anai, Hansen, I mean, those are the guys who should be stars in this team.
Yeah. I mean, and one final quick hitter before we get into the other stuff is there's no longer just football games on the schedule coming up. The month of August actually has four soccer games.
Footy.
So
Croatia? Oh, no, that's over already. That's, France won.
If you're still feeling soccer after the World Cup, the Idaho Vandals will be in town August 12th. Minnesota, what, the Gophers?
Yep, Golden. Yeah, Golden Gophers.
Golden Gophers. Midas touched that gopher. and they're going to be in the town August 17th. Then they go up and play Weber State the 19th. And then the 24th, they're playing Utah State and Logan. So look, if you still like soccer, Joseph, which I'm sure it's just every 4 years that you watch.
I don't even watch it every 4 years. My fondest soccer memory was the morning of my wedding. So this was 2010. It was the World Cup. It was in June. And I and my groomsmen ate pizza at like 9 o'clock in the morning from the pie and watched a soccer game. But that's the last time I watched soccer on television. So that's my level of interest in that particular sport. And
for those who aren't interested in soccer, volleyball also kicks up late August with a bunch of games here in Salt Lake. So
matches,
that should be fun.
Games? Beats? Tilts? Contests? One of my favorite things about sports writing is all the different words there are for a match. And you can use them like in the same paragraph. I like tilt and contest. I use them all the time. All right. So let's get into it. I've got a couple just little things people are noticing. So I don't really have coaching relationships, but I have relationships with people who have relationships with coaches. So I hear things. And we continue to hear Francis Bernard. But nobody can say it. So there's all these transfer rules and all these NCAA things going on. But it really feels like he's there. I don't know if he's enrolled at the U and if that's what they're waiting for, if they're waiting for paperwork to clear. And it's possible maybe that he won't be practicing with a team right away. But it's exciting because that is a game-ready, starter-grade Pac-12 linebacker who's just waiting in the wings and hopefully will be donning the drum and feather here pretty soon. The other thing I'm hearing that's less good news but is offset by the Francis Bernard news, Bryant Pirtle, the JUCO linebacker defensive end prospect, kind of iffy academically. So nobody's sure yet, but we're waiting waiting to see whether or not he'll make it. If one of those guys lands and is ready to play, it doesn't matter. I think you need a little bit of depth at linebacker, we'll talk about. But we need one of them to land, or else there's a real thin linebacker core.
Yeah, and it feels since a couple years ago when it was Gianni Paul and, oh my gosh, I'm blanking in on his name.
Oh, the big guy with a... But the
is it Norris?
Axe tattoo on his head. Yeah, I think that was Jaren Norris.
Yeah, since those two were at the linebacking position, it's been a thin position.
Kind of scrambling. Yeah, we had that really deep three linebacker set, and then they all left at once, and it's been JUCO guys and this and that, and they haven't really been able to build that up. Yeah, and they haven't recruited very strongly at that position. It's been a focus, but I think they've been kind of shooting for the stars and missing a little bit at linebacker, which has got to be frustrating because they've got such a great tradition of good linebackers. You'd think guys would want to come play, but they've had some trouble there.
It's true.
But I think, okay, well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about where we are with regard to the linebackers and defensive line. We talked about the secondary last week, which is just strength upon strength. Experience everywhere, and then when we get down a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage, we had a lot of departures. There's a lot of talent, there's a lot to like, but linebacker's gone all over the field, defensive end is gone in how can I forget his name, he's awesome, Kylie Fitz. We lost a couple defensive tackles. I mean, a lot of losses down there. So I just want to kind of start up at the top and go down. There's a few things that we know already. We know Chase Hansen is a linebacker. He's full linebacker size. I have an opinion on this, Grant, but I want to hear what you think first. Do you feel like linebacker is going to kind of unleash Chase Hansen or not change what he's doing, or make it harder for him to have the success he did at strong safety?
So I think it's got to be a blended position for him, right? It can't just be, like, I don't want to see him going into the trenches a lot. What I envision for him is that he's going to be the guy that's kind of hidden behind the line, and then the quarterback's going to think there's an open read right there, and then all of a sudden Chase Hansen's hands are going to touch the ball. And I see him roaming freely in the middle of the field where that linebacker would be and making the best call based on what he thinks is right. Not that he's going to have a role like he's going to line up next to the defensive end and blitz, or that he's going to be blitzing. I definitely don't want him blitzing through the trenches at all. Mm-hmm. Like, ultimately, because one of the concerns for me is health. Like, as awesome as our safety positions are and our defensive backs are, like we talked about last week, we don't want it. We're thin at linebacker. We don't need a lot of injuries there. And my hope is really that the defensive line this year can, under the tutelage of Gary Anderson, get back to putting the rush on without the blitz and allowing our linebackers to stop the eat tacklers so the other one's getting a tackle. And our eat blockers, that's what I meant to say. You know, one linebacker takes that first block out, and then the other guy is making the tackle, kind of a deal. And it just, I just don't want Chase Hansen locked up in amongst all the linemen and getting hit as much than a normal linebacker, I guess. I don't know. I'm worried about his health.
And that's fair. He had a season-ending injury in 2015. After one start at strong safety, it was kind of a fluky injury a little bit. He got laid out on the side of his knee, as I recall. It's now like 3 years ago, but that's what I remember. Started all 13 games in 2016, but then was injured again in 17, missed four games, didn't look like himself in other games, had a lot of issues, but this guy just rakes in counting stats, right? He's all over the field as sacks and tackles for loss and forced fumbles and interceptions. He's just everywhere. And I agree with your assessment that it's a lot of it's on Scally to say, you're great, your instincts are part of what make you great, and I'm just going to let you do that. One thing that I think maybe I disagree with a little bit is I think we are going to see him rushing. I don't think we're going to rush him up the middle a lot, but I think you're going to see Scally having kind of alternative blitzes off the edge, both from safeties, linebackers, and even some cornerbacks, because there's a lot of questions on one side of the defensive end position. I mean, we just don't know who the next defensive end is going to be across the way from Anai. And so I think he's going to be up kind of close to the line of scrimmage on called plays a little bit more. But I agree. I think that if he's allowed to just be Chase Hansen and feel it out and say, this is the play I'm going to blitz because I just, this is my read and this is what I think, this is where I think the ball is going to be, and I'm going to drop back and pass coverage this time and really allow it to feel it out, I think that's going to work really well for him. And I do think being a linebacker is going to free him up to not have as specific of an assignment.
As he
did at a strong safety. So hopefully we see more. I've got him projected for him. In particular, I think he's going to rack up tackles like crazy because he's just always where the ball is. And at linebacker, he's just going to be filling the hole all the time and stopping a lot of runners short.
But, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. As long as they're allowing him to play the instinctual good read football that he was making at strong safety and he's just adjusted to the linebacker role, then he's going
to
be amazing.
If they try to tie him down to, like, a prescribed linebacker role, that'll be a problem.
Yeah, and that's what I don't want, ultimately. So,
and then I worry about injuries, too. He's up in weight. I mean, I think that so he's going to get hit more, or he's going to hit more people, which is the same thing, more
either
or less.
Way, plenty of contact in this contact sport called football.
Yes, at linebacker, even more than, you know, you're not tackling a piddly wide receiver. You got some 220-pound running back who's trying to kill you. And then you're getting hit by blocks, by tackles and stuff like that. So it's a more contact position. But part of his injury problem, to my mind, is that he's been pushing himself really hard to keep his weight down so that he could be fast and nimble enough for the strong safety position. And now that he's allowed to kind of be his own natural mass, which is a more powerful, more dense build, hopefully that's going to protect his joints and keep him from getting injured quite as much. But we'll see. I mean, that's a huge question mark and can have a massive impact on whether this is a great defense or a good defense this year.
Yeah, because like you mentioned, one of the knowns but also one of the weaknesses in this conversation is our defensive ends, right? Bradley and I is the known product. We've got a really good defensive end over there. He's already on Bednarik award watch list. Like, clearly he's coming in with some expectations this year, but who's going to be on the other side?
And that's so important at that position because every team the Utes play beyond the non-conference schedule is going to have a tackle who can slow down Bradley Anai. I mean, not stop him because nobody really can. I mean, he's a true prototypical defensive end. He's very tall. He's 6'6", I think, based on standing next to him. And big long arms. He's really quick. His feet are really good. So you can't really stop him, but you can slow him down. If the other guy on the other side of the line is competent, that makes it sort of a difficult choice for an offensive coordinator to decide what they're going to do. If the other side is weak, then you can chip block and you can do stuff to really stop and contain Anai. So he needs that partner. And you look through the roster, and there's a lot of guys I like. I mean, there's a lot of names you like, but which one is the guy?
I don't know.
I mean,
Should we play the game? I'll name off some potential defensive end partners, and you can say which one, yay or nay.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's play the game.
All right, so the first one I'm thinking is Max Tupai. People were really excited about him when he was a recruit. Is he finally going to play?
He's such a ferocious player, but he's really hitting his – poly build at this point. I mean, he's getting older and he's starting to really fill out. They've got him listed at 250, but I think that number is going to keep going up throughout this season. And he's really more of a tackle than an end. Now, that could work because Anai, like I said, is a prototypical weak side defensive end pass rush kind of guy with those long arms. And they usually on a four-man line, you've got one guy at one end who's long and lean and can really get around the edge and go after the quarterback. Think like Jason Pierre-Paul in the NFL is a really good example. It just pops to mind before he hurt his hand. And then on the other side, you have the strong side end who's more of a run stuffer, who's kind of trying to seal down the line to push the energy towards this nimble guy. So Bradley and I is the one who's supposed to do the building up of those stats. And he's listed at 6'3", 254, but he's really well built for the position. And so a big, heavy guy like Tupai might actually be a really good fit for the strong side end. But not my first choice.
Okay.
Keep going. See if you can.
So let's see here. The next option, off the top of my head,
but
I'm going to go, what about Caleb Rep? He saw some time over there, didn't he?
So Caleb Rep is kind of a pariah on Twitter. Everybody says he was terrible, but I disagree. I think he's a Pita Tamoy Penu mold kind of third down, ears back on a third and long pass rusher. He's got great moves, great swim move. You know, he's really good with his hands in the trenches. And so I think he could do that, but not as an every down kind of guy. I think you'll see him come in when there's no reason not to telegraph the next move, which is go kill the quarterback.
Okay. So
I've got the one in my head. I want to see if you can get it. This is your last guess.
So we've got our potential run stopping guy, Tupai.
Should I give him a hint? He's got the pass rush guy, the specialist. He's got the maybe a little too big run stuffer guy in Tupai. Should I give him a hint?
So Mika Tuafua.
You've got it. That's the guy.
I am not a good pronunciation.
You just go one letter at a time. It's like Italian. You just go Tafua. Tafua.
All right. So that's the guy.
That's the guy. That's him. He's a freshman, 6'3", 250, but everybody's just pumped. They're like, this is a player here. He's got that energy, that aggressiveness, and looks to be the kind of guy who can really do a good job making it a pick your poison situation for an offensive line corner, and that's what you want. The other guys I think are worth keeping an eye on are Devere Hamilton or Rex Jordan. Rex Jordan's JUCO transfer. He's physically exactly what you want. He's a real weight room star. He's very intimidating to look at. I've heard he's not as good on the field.
I was about to say, like, weight room star does not always equate guy on the field.
And I think it's sort of a damning with a faint praise to call him a weight room star. But let's see what happens. I mean, this is, you know, this kid's after a summer. Let's see what happens after he's had a year, you know, a camp and a few weeks of tutelage under the incredible coaching staff. And, you know, can they turn those undeniable physical tools into something special? And then I think with Devere, he's just a little bit of a tweener. He's a little too big to play linebacker in this system, a little too small to play defensive end. So it's a tough spot because he's a talented kid and, you know, personality-wise, there's few nicer, cooler guys out there. So I'm hoping to see him out there, hoping to see him do that.
I'm sure they'll have a role for him. Yeah. He's just too talented to not have one, if that makes sense.
He's a good kid. I like to see him out there.
I
think Mika Tuafua is the most like my pick for the guy who's going to be out there and is ultimately going to win that role opposite Anai. And I think for every down, it's going to be Hamilton or Rex Jordan, and then you'll see Caleb Rep, as a pass rush specialist, and you may see Tupai take over that role, but my guess is at 6'1", 250, it's more likely that you're going to see him start to fill in at defensive tackle later on in the season.
All right, so let's hear. We've covered the defensive end spot.
And we got tackles.
We talked about Chase Hansen, but I don't feel like we talked about the other linebackers.
Right.
Because I think there are some on the roster, so we should probably give them some time. Who do you think is at the number two spot? I mean, they've been running a two linebacker scheme
for the most part. That's important for listeners to remember that Utah's really been running a 4-2-5 a lot lately. So two linebackers, four up front, and then a nickel defensive backfield package. So I would say the guy opposite Hansen, honestly, and this isn't going to win me a lot of, speaking of Twitter pariahs, I think it's Cody Barton. I think Cody Barton is getting better and better and better. And everybody still sees him go on the field, and they still see that out of place, a little bit too slow sophomore that he was in 2016. But he's not that guy anymore. He's filled out into his frame. He's faster than he used to be. He makes the right decisions. And he's more instinctual. He's not Chase Hansen. He's not an NFL player. But I think he is a good, serviceable Pac-12 linebacker. I think he's going to get pushed on by Francis Bernard if he's around.
I mean, I think Francis Bernard will take over. Yeah.
Bernard is undoubtedly more talented of an athlete than Cody Barton. The question is if he plays, and when he plays, is he going to be game ready when he starts, or is it going to take a few weeks? I mean, keep in mind, Washington is week three, so we need to know who's going to be ready soon. And I'm not saying he's not. I just don't know. I haven't seen him running around, so I don't know how he looks yet.
Nor do I.
But I'll be going up to some practices, and we'll see if he's sneaking on the field.
All right. Well,
they'll probably hide him, though, because the media observation is like 15 minutes. So they'll probably drape a tent over him before we get there.
Oh, no. He'll be in the locker room or not even in the building by the time you're allowed in.
He'll be standing on a hill with binoculars watching.
He'll be in the stadium working out or doing something.
I honestly think that's a distinct possibility that they will hide him from the media through camp. So we really aren't going to have as much information. I also want to talk about some freshmen. One, Sione Lund, I don't know if this is official yet, but is not going to be eligible to play this year. They thought maybe because some of the reasons that he was transferring were kind of hardship related, they might be able to get him some kind of waiver. I don't know a lot of the details there. They've been really hush-hush about it, but that didn't happen, so he's another year away. He's listed at linebacker now, which is his natural. People keep saying running back, but he's going to be a linebacker. And then the other guy that I've heard a lot of good stuff about, and I've been on the only one on this kid when they were recruiting him, is Devin Lloyd. He was playing free safety for like a podunk high school in the middle of nowhere, and a kid who's 6'3", 230 shouldn't be playing free safety, right? But in that defense, that was the guy who was kind of that Chase Hansen role last year. They just said, go out there, hit whoever has the ball, pick it off. And he was all over the field, but is absolutely not a defensive back. And I think with even a few months of nutrition as he puts on some weight, he's going to be a ferocious linebacker, and I wouldn't be surprised over the next few years to see him move down to end. I love his pass rush and his body. He's got these long arms, really quick hands, so I'd like to see him going after the quarterback because I think he'll be a nightmare. But everybody's talking about him now, and I just want to say, you can go back to the first film where I was getting texts from the other recruiting guys. We're like, why are you so hot on Devin Lloyd? He's just some random kid. He's barely even worth a scholarship. But it was like,
just wait, just wait. And now everybody's like, man, that Devin Lloyd sure is good. So I feel proud, Devin Lloyd. And the other guy to watch is Chris Hart. He's a junior now. He's been bouncing around, but he'll probably get some time.
Let me just say, I haven't seen these picks of text messages or whatever.
They're about there. You They're being real. High on I mean, Devin it was my Lloyd. Old phone.
I
so.
Think. Right.
Fake news. Fake news.
All right. Well, I feel like there's one more position to hit, which is defensive tackle. Mm. You know, something.
Do you hear the sound? The sound I'm making right now. Do you know who I'm thinking about?
I don't know.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Who makes you go?
I don't.
Yes. On this team.
A football player doesn't make me do that.
Yeah, he does. Lekki Fotu. The man himself.
It sounded like you were enjoying that a little too much.
The mountain of a man. The unstoppable force of nature. Like a boulder rolling down a hill. Lekki Fotu is just a football fans, football player, and I love him. He's got this huge pile of curly hair. He's like Maui out there, just blowing people up.
I wish you guys could
up.
See
He's
his facial expressions.
That's why I put so much emotion into that sound, because
your
I wanted
wife,
you to hear how I look. And
your
feel.
Wife was supposed to be jealous of the microphone last week. I think she should be more jealous about the way you're talking about Lekki Fotu right now.
I have a deep and profound appreciation for a one-of-a-kind player. He is just a monster, just an absolute monster. And the superior of Starr and Lowell, I think. He is the obvious successor to the Lotulelei brothers, but or cousins. But
I can't remember.
I think they're brothers, and then Hunter is a cousin. The okay. O-line is on a
sure.
But he is just magnificent, and I'm so excited to see him strike terror into the heart of everyone who beholds him. Like, can you imagine being one of those 260-pound BYU linemen looking up, and there is just this monster, like this thing of legend and myth.
This makes... Makes me think, did you see, what
it's
is it,
beautiful.
Crittle, Ben Crittle, is that his name? The BYU guy down at 960.
Oh, yeah, I don't even know
and
where they are. They're all
so
clowns.
He tweeted about how it's not about coaching or talent
with the rivalry.
Sportsmanship,
yes.
Yeah, it's yes. about sportsmanship.
No, it's about Lekki Fotu, the thing of myth and legend, and they're just no one on that roster who can stop him or even really try.
Well, okay, so sure.
So it's the only question is, who is going to stand next to Lekki Fotu and make him look like the demigod he is? That's the question.
You've been watching too much Mulan, man.
You have no idea. I have a 5-year-old daughter. I watch that movie a lot. But you know what? It's a fair comparison.
All right, so
see this guy.
Since
amazing.
Maui's going to be starting at the other defensive tackle, who's going to start at the second one? I mean, do we need to take like a 5-minute break?
No, we do not need a recess for me to compose myself. I'm okay. I just wanted everybody to know how I feel, because we don't puff him up enough. I mean, he's got this, like, he's got like a hashtag on stuff, but he's really magnificent. There's a ton. It's really hard to pick. There's some freshmen. Paul Maiali is a good player at East High School. He could get some time. He's probably a little undersized. The obvious guy is John Penasini. He was a Snow College transfer, kind of in the vein of Utah's Snow College pipeline. He's an excellent player, maybe a little undersized, but he's so good, it doesn't matter. Pita Tonga is the guy who's getting the most buzz, I would say, on the from defensive tackle perspective. He's a little younger, but he's a big, strong, instinctive player, and the coaches have been talking him up a lot. He's also a hometown hero. He's from Highland High. So, yeah, you look at this defensive tackle list. I'm just going to read off the high schools and colleges. Bingham, Timpview, Harriman, East Hawaii, Snow College, Cottonwood, Highland, all but one of those tackles is a local kid, and those tackles could play anywhere, all of them.
That's and pretty awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
It is pretty
looking
cool.
That list.
Because especially after years and years of people complaining that they
that we don't recruit well in Utah. Any in-state recruiting battles when the entire defensive line, or at least the tackles, I mean, every Mammoth Polynesian kid, they're all Polynesian. I don't mean to be like putting too fine a point on it, but it's Jackson Cravens and a bunch of Poly boys. That's just the reality of the situation. Every Polynesian football player over 280 pounds goes to Utah, and that's cool. I mean, it's an awesome, exciting group, and it's fun when you're on the field with them and you get to see them together, because it's a sight. It's really a cool community, and I can see why they talk about how special Utah is from the Polynesian perspective and how cool it is to be a Polynesian going to Utah. And the almost, I mean, I'm quoting them here, but they talk about how they think of themselves in kind of a tribal way and a family way, and this group of defensive tackles really lives that, and that's really cool. Oh, and I'm just spotting they moved Aaron Amama to defensive tackle, which is interesting. He was on the offensive line last year, but it's honestly probably too big and heavy for it. So I think DT is probably a better fit. So, yeah, I mean, it's hard to say who it's going to be, but there's a lot of really good choices to be opposite the man, the myth, the legend, Lecky Fotu.
I can't
get over him. He's magnificent.
You can't.
But that's it. I mean, we've got depth issues at linebacker for sure. We have question marks, but not problems at defensive end and defensive tackle. And then we're just absolutely loaded in the secondary. I'm really excited for what this defense is going to be able to do. We did the offense last month, and I mean, man, there is a lot of talent on this team, and there's a reason I've got them projected to 8, 9, 10 wins.
It's going to be interesting, because I feel like this is this is year number two with Scally having the reins,
yeah.
And you know, everyone's noticed the defensive line not performing up to snuff. So that's kind of the story I'm watching with this defense. How does Scally progress from year one to year two? And how does that impact the defensive line? I'm expecting the linebackers and the secondary, especially the secondary, to be amazing, honestly. The linebackers to be great, mainly because Hansen should be great. And then it's going to be, what does that defensive line do? Because that is the core of it, right? We've got the secondary who's going to be holding down the wide receivers. Is the defensive line going to go hit that quarterback?
Are they going to be able to close the pocket?
Yep.
And put the – and when I say pressure, I don't even mean
you don't
hit
have
the quarterback.
To hit him.
It's just about making the quarterback have to throw. And if he has to throw, you know, 2-3 seconds after the snap, there's not going to be anybody to throw to, and that's the goal.
Yep. True. Exactly. That's all they got to do. So – but either way, after talking offense and defense, still plenty of reason to be excited, and especially with national title Joseph on the
show. Full BYU media member mode. We are going to the Natty, everybody.
In the meantime, if you want to go give us some reviews or give us some feedback, check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you listen. We could use the reviews. If you can't give us a good review.
And you owe us the review, because we have been working so hard for you. You owe us this 5-star review. So get out there and make it happen. Give 110% and 5 stars.
And if you can't, email us. Tell us what we need to improve, because we're happy to do it. We fixed the sound. I think it's much better now. Please tell us if we're wrong. But utetalk@gmail.com or utetalkpodcast on Twitter. So until next time, go Utes.
Go Utes.
Thanks for listening to Ute Talk, brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter @UTalkPodcast or email @UTalk@gmail.com.